Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination number 438. This is the prep work edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. It's not because we spent a particularly long time actually recording the show or setting it up for anything like that. It's more along the lines of things that are happening around here in the Caffeination Lager. So we, currently the recording studio, ever since I moved everything around, it's taken on a kind of a strange life of its own. It looks kind of like a Mexican laundry around here, and I don't mean that in any kind of disparaging way. I mean that I have a bunch of Mexican blankets that we used, for the beach blankets and stuff like that, and they're hanging across a clothesline in the middle of the basement for sound deadening. After I rotated everything down here in the Caffeination Lair, after I moved things around, instead of talking right into a wall, I was talking out into a wide expanse of space, and There was just this slight echo on a couple of the episodes. We hung a clothesline up down here to actually dry a comforter at one point, and noticed that the episode I recorded while the comforter was drying was perfectly muted. It sounded a lot better. So rather than keeping the nice comforter down here, I just took a whole bunch of blankets and kind of worn them around. It's also kind of interesting around here right now because the big thing that we got going on is getting ready for the baby's birth. Wife's pregnant, as some of you may or may not know. Kids due July 12th. We have everything scheduled out, and we're trying to make sure everything's up and running down here in the Caffeination Lair to make sure that that actually, goes forward as planned. The fun thing about all that is that a lot of little things keep cropping up, things that have to work. And one of the weirdest things that's happened recently is that my son, who's 3 and a half, has started waking up in the middle of the night for no apparent reason, like screaming again. So we are not only rocking down here with all the different lights that I'm going to show you in a second, but we're also living off of a baby monitor again, something I'm probably going to have to get used to. But for everybody who's in the chat room, you can see that we have a crazy clothesline with some interesting looking blankets hanging all around. And it's actually getting quite hot in here with all the lights that we got going on. But the Luxo lamp and everything else actually is working out pretty nice. And, Xbox Live Vision camera kind of wandering around the room. So it's kind of fun to see. We have a whole bunch of fun stuff that we're going to try and get working. I did tell the people in the video that we're trying to get the live video back up on techpodcasts.tv. We're just having some problems with the conversion. So, that's six of one, half a dozen of another. I mean, if you're looking at for us over at live.caffeination.com, you can check out all the old shows there, but we're trying to get everything up in one place over at techpodcasts.tv. So, this is the Caffeination Podcast. We are the high-octane world of caffeine culture and technology news. We try and find a whole bunch of really cool links that maybe not everybody's talking about and give you a little bit of our spin on it. So, we have a ton of GeekCraft here today, and just a little bit of cold brewed coffee and fun caffeinated bits to round out the show. Just a quick little background on that. I've been cold brewing coffee for a while now. I actually use a separate system to cold brew it right now, but I wanted to go back to the roots of when I started cold brewing coffee and making iced coffee and kind of show people the right way to do it. So I have a fun article that I wrote that's at the back end of the show today. We're actually going to be hopefully doing a couple little video demonstrations, kind of kitchen style things, see if that actually works out. If it does, cool, then you'll see them. If it doesn't, then you're not going to. But they're planned, they're in the works, so that's what we're trying to do. If you're looking for this show, it's lovingly hosted over at www.caffeination.com. that is caffeination.com, in case you couldn't spell that out. You can send comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, anything like that over to caffeination@gmail.com or twitter.com/caffeination. Every other piece of information that you need to know is listed over the website, so you can check that out. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. A whole bunch of fun shows are over there, and everybody has agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational podcasting. It's all listed over at techpodcasts.com. There's a bunch of really cool live video shows that some of them are recorded live, others are taped segments, and they're all over at techpodcasts.tv. Still trying to work out all the workflow issues that we're having down here, but the quicker I can get everything set up, the better off I think we'll be for that. All right. Yeah, so this is going to be kind of a fun show. Before we got too much further, I did want to make mention of the sponsor for today's show. Today's show is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. You meet with clients and colleagues all the time, and some of them you can do it, you know, right up close and personal, face to face. Others that, you know, there's just not the time to actually make that an available option, and it really costs on average a lot of money to send somebody to any one place to actually do it. You have to pay for their time there. You have to pay for the per diem to actually allow them to eat while they're out, you know, wherever they happen to be. And so GoToMeeting really kind of simplifies that. It actually drops the average cost of doing the business that you have to down significantly. GoToMeeting is really simple. For just $49 a month, you can hold as many meetings as you want. It has phone and voice over IP conferencing included in that price. It means you can show, explain, and discuss without any added hassles. You can do more and travel less with GoToMeeting. The award-winning online software is simple to use. It's just a click. You can host sales presentations, training sessions, anything you want right from the comfort of your very own desk. And it's so easy, you can have your first meeting up and running in absolute seconds. So I've used GoToMeeting and it's wonderful. I just wanted to tell you how seamless it is switching back and forth no matter where your presenters are, no matter what you're trying to do. So my listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings absolutely free. For the special offer, please visit www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued partner here at the Caffeination Podcast. They allow us to do all kinds of crazy and cool stuff that we keep trying to do, but, you know, it's sometimes it takes a little bit longer in between all the different shows. So we're happy to actually be kind of on a cool schedule here. We've gotten the workflow back down. This is the third show we've done in a row without any kind of weird delays. So, you know, we're trying to get back on track. So thanks everybody for your patience. The new staff member, the baby, coming on board shortly. It's gonna be crazy again. But you know what? We're dedicated to making sure the show actually continues on. So thank you very much. All right. Up first, we have in GeekCruft section, Google Voice is now open to all. And this is kind of funny because I was just telling people a couple weeks ago about how cool Google Voice was and how it's one of the reasons that I love the Android platform is the fact that Google Voice is very tightly integrated with it if you download that app. And it's really nice. It's really wonderful when you're trying to work and you want to have the option to give out one public number and then have all your private numbers separate. And you can have it take care of your voicemail. It actually takes care of mine because a lot of the times when I'm in meetings or something like that, I could really use a transcription of the voicemail. And it doesn't always work as well as it could, but it's really cool that you no longer need the beta codes to actually do it. So you can head on over to google.com/voice. It's really, really cool. You can pick a number and just have everything piped into it. However, there's a lot of people that are talking about some of the major holes that they see in Google Voice. I see that it's a relatively decent service. I don't think it's a flawless by any stretch of the imagination. I do think there are a couple things they have to improve. Like I said, the aforementioned transcriptions, but it's more along the lines with how the person's talking in the actual context of anything. Like, for instance, my father, any transcript from his voicemails are completely worthless. And it's because he has a relatively low bass register voice. He talks a little bit softly, so if there's any background noise at all, it kind of messes all the words up. My wife can't use the transcription service either because she talks very, very quickly. So her words kind of run together just a little bit. But there's other people, if you enunciate, if you have a lot of space in between your words, and you don't have any kind of twang going on in your voice, it's usually a little bit off. All right, so I don't honestly think that that's a huge problem. The other thing that they said, which is actually kind of an interesting thing, is if you don't have an Android phone, it might not actually be worth it to use your phone to make the phone calls. There's a little bit of a delay. The quality drops just a little bit when you're using Google Voice as opposed to whatever phone network you're on, because it's an extra added step in between. I mean, you're using your phone to talk to Google servers, which is using that and then transferring the data over to whatever landline it's going to jump off the trunk at. So yeah, there's a little bit of an extra delay. There's a little bit of an extra fidelity loss, but it allows you to kind of sit behind your own little phone firewall, if you will. And the other thing is the fact that the international support, currently it's only available for U.S. So it's, you can call out of the U.S. It's just they only have U.S. numbers available. So it's going to be interesting to see if if it is. And Alan says that the transcriptions are funny. Actually, some of them really come across strange, and you're sitting there looking at what they actually said the person said, and there's no way that they were talking about llamas in that voicemail. And it turns out it's like there was something completely different. It just might have had an L and an M somewhere in the middle of it. So the one thing that I actually have to say about the transcriptions and a lot of the different tech that we use to run the live shows is I really wish Ustream's chat would actually keep up with the chats that are happening. Every once in a while, all of a sudden, it'll just jump down, and it's like, you know, 15 minutes worth of comments drop up there. So, all right, let's see what else we got going on. Another little thing that actually came out relatively recently, Google Maps for Android again updated and adds all public transportation schedules. I love this. I know that Philadelphia, the transit authority here, SEPTA, added their transit schedules into Google Maps online. I wasn't aware of if it was actually on the phone version. I thought it was previously, but this just means that there's a wider array of things that are actually stored on Google Maps, and I actually think that's really, really useful. I mean, more so than driving directions, because, I mean, yeah, you can, if you have the one of the later operating systems, I think 2.0.1 and 2.1, the navigation, the car home button on your Android phone is unbelievable. Literally, it like wrecks almost any other GPS that I've ever used, and it's really kind of funny that the transit schedule might not have actually been in there for certain cities. Like I said, I'm pretty sure it was actually in there for Philadelphia, but I can't remember. I do, however, know that, you know, I've used my phone a couple times. It's like if I have to take the train home late for work or something like that and you want to check the schedule, it's a lot easier to actually have it plugged into the map. So as of June 23rd, which is today, they said that it's been updated for all of their available public transit schedules. So that's pretty cool. All right, now the next thing that we have up here, now this should go for any and all apps out there, but this is also, you know, it's less publicized on iPhone because there's not as much data actually given out, but it's kind of interesting to see. There's a huge amount of Android applications out there that have access to more data than they really need, and one of the things that people are saying is that Alan just said that we can use iSEPTA through the web browser. That's really cool. Thanks. I know that they had a kind of like a faux iPhone app for SEPTA, so I was unaware that we had our own little thing. I've just usually Googled the times, and it's worked out. Back to the Android app problem. Apparently, there's a certain percentage of the apps that are in the marketplace and that are available online that actually have a lot more access to things than they need to. As any good app developer will, you know, drop down the available features that the phone has access to because it doesn't need to. That's extra code, that's extra junk that lays around in the app, and most people will use it for normal purposes. Whatever the app is supposed to do, they will only ask for the features and access to the features that allow the phone to do what it's supposed to do. So, for instance, if you have a traffic app, then you would want the traffic app to be able to use the GPS to find out your location through wireless networks or whatever it is, but you need to actually know where the phone is in order for it to be useful. However, you can turn off location in those apps, and it still works the same way. You need to have it access things like you need to have a traffic app access things like the internet so that it can download the information from its servers. So that all that. It doesn't need to send a text message. It doesn't need to make a phone call. But some of the applications out there actually have all these extra permissions added in. And it's one of those things where it's like they're starting to notice that there's actual malware apps creeping in. They can send text messages to numbers that you don't know that don't even have anything. They can do it without your prompting. This might be a little bit of, you know, kind of a sensationalism and everything like that, but it's kind of ridiculous that people haven't caught on before this. I mean, usually there's a lovely little warning screen that pops up. They actually have a screenshot here, and if I had my phone down here, I actually would show you. But they have a screenshot. Every application that you ever ask for on Android, whenever you're installing it, it says, hey, you know what? These are the things that I need access to. I need access to your location. I actually use the MyTracks application when I'm walking the dog so I know how long I've been out and, you know, the general track. By the way, if you've never used it, MyTracks is a really cool application. You can actually save the routes not only as personal maps on Google Maps, but you can save, you know, people use it for running and things like that, but you can save the times. You can save them as Google Docs just as like a spreadsheet. It's really neat. But You know, it has access to things like network communication, Google service configuration, your account docs, and system tools, so to prevent the phone from sleeping, stuff like that. But every application that you ever install has all of that information basically plugged in there, and you have to approve it, okay, you know, allow or deny style. So if you're not paying attention to what you're giving, what apps you're giving access, then you probably need to go back and do a little personal audit. Now, if you have hundreds of apps on your phone, probably not. But if you have a ton of apps on your phone, it's going to take you a little while. But it's something that, you know, you need to be aware of. I mean, for instance, does that fun like Vuvuzela application that you have for your phone, does it need to have access to your contacts list? No, it doesn't need to have anything. So I don't know if anybody's actually tried it. I think I played around with it on the last show. It's actually pretty fun to irritate people with it. All right, moving right along to the next thing. There's I have to use the tagline that they're actually using in the article. This is from WebUrbanist.com. No dearth of Darth, 100 artistic versions of Vader. Now, I've talked about this before, but this is the first time that I've actually seen some of the crazier ones that are out there. They have, it's a contest or a art exhibit where they're actually going to be auctioning off all these different Vader masks that have been artistically done in different styles. So, for instance, there's one where it looks like Vader is actually a skull, and there's an army head on it. There's another one that looks like it's a giant sandcastle with Luke standing in front of it. And then some of my favorite ones is I love the pink Vader helmet, and I love the Unabomber Vader helmet. They're actually going to be auctioning them off, and everything's supposed to start around $1,500. The auctions are going to be going off July 5th through 9th at Freeman's Auction House. So if you have a significant amount of coin, then you might want to head on over there and check that out. If you are that kind of Star Wars geek, I'm a little bit of a Star Wars geek. I mean, I like the movies. I love Darth Vader. I love the character, the iconicism about it. But you know, I just don't have that kind of coin to throw around for that. All right, next little thing is, I don't know how many of you out there have iPads. I like them. I think they're neat. I just don't think they've found their niche yet. I think people are trying to shoehorn them into places where they don't belong. But it's kind of funny to see the fact that people are very, very protective of them. First of all, because it's an expensive gadget. And second of all, because they're easy to drop, because it's just basically a little sheet of paper or whatever it is. It's a single slate. It's a flat plane, and there's nothing to grab onto and drop down. So it's kind of easy to lose control of it that way. So I just had to share this one because I thought it was absolutely hilarious. But there is a product out there called Eyeballs. They are shock absorbers that actually get strapped to the outside of your iPad. I actually think this looks pretty funny. They're held in place by a bungee cord, and they're just, each one of the corners has a giant black ball on the outside of it. It's only $19.99, which is a little expensive when you consider what they are, but it's, you know, probably a little bit less expensive than if you happen to drop your iPad around or bounce it around or something like that. It's not going to save you from massive amounts of blunt force trauma, but it's kind of interesting to see that nonetheless. All right, now, speaking of eyeballs, and you got to wonder if something like this would actually set it off, from over at slipperybrick.com, they actually have a device that talks to your computer via USB port that whenever you type a bad, naughty, dirty, profane word, it actually sprays foul, stinky smell into the air. Now, I think this is going to go the way of that kind of chlorine that actually turns the pool a different color if somebody makes inside the pool. You know, it's our ool. Notice there's no P in it. Please keep it that way. I mean, if you've ever seen that sign, but it's a great idea. But after you start using it, it kind of loses its luster because the entire pool turns that color. One of the funny things about the earlier renditions of that style of chlorine is that if you use it on a public pool, which most of them don't actually, my one friend who's a lifeguard actually said that the first time they tried it, the entire pool turned green, and it wasn't because that people were using it, or that people were actually abusing the pool. It was because the amount of uric acid that was on the people's skins as it was really hot and sweaty and they were jumping into the pool kind of set off the chemical enough to give everything a faint green tint, and it slowly got darker throughout the day, and they didn't realize it till a little bit later on. So it would be kind of nasty if you had something like this installed in a lab or something like that. It would just start to add a definite kind of cloud of stank, especially if you had it hooked up to some of the computers in the labs where I work. All right, I just thought that was fun and wanted to share with the group. Next little pretty cool thing is from over at Ogizmo.com. It's called a front and back clock. I actually really, really like this design. It's a different take on where to put the batteries on a clock. I mean, everybody's seen clocks where you just drop the two AA batteries in there. It runs the clock mechanism, and then you know you go about your way. I mean, obviously, they're sitting in the back, and then the hands go around. It's a pretty standard clock. This kind of takes that and turns it on its side. Literally turns it front to back, name, hence the name of the clock. It's quite simply that you drop each one of the batteries into a separate circle, and it's a blank circle. The circles themselves rotate with the batteries as the clock hands to actually give you the time. This is fantastic. I haven't been able to find out how much this is, but this is a beautiful piece of design, and the person should really be commended for it, because I actually think that that's a really outside-the-box kind of awesome solution to a neat little clock there. All right, next little item we got for you here is, this is something near and dear to my heart. I love sci-fi, just in general. Not just talking about the channel that should have changed its name back to actually FI instead of FY, but this is more along the lines of, I love this style of storytelling that's associated with sci-fi. It's just neat. So I was kind of interested when I heard something over Technobob about the Sci-Fi Air Show. This is a gentleman who actually got together created, his name is Bill George, and he created a fun little thing called the Sci-Fi Air Show from Screen to Sky. It's all Photoshopped images, they're all props and everything that was worked out into different things, and he actually, basically made a fake air show that has garnered a lot of interest. I would love to see something like this. I remember when we were actually on one of the tours down at Universal or somewhere like that, they actually had the ship from Flight of the Navigator. That was really cool to see. That's the kind of thing that you would expect to see here. But they have a whole bunch of different things. They have the Eagle 4. It's a 1970s classic. They have the Hawk, the Spindrift, the Flying Sub, the Orion, and the Shuttle Viper. I just keep waiting to see something like a Firefly class ship. And it's basically they took pictures of air shows and different styles of that, or they staged pictures that were similar and then added in the sci-fi things. If you remember a couple weeks ago, we actually talked about an artist for San Francisco who showed you the Imperial Star Destroyer actually coming down behind the Golden Gate Bridge. And so I was unaware if a Star Destroyer could actually land on a planet or if it would have issues with the atmosphere or not. I couldn't remember if that was actually possible. So I kind of put that one in the maybe category, but I still thought it was funny. All right. Next little thing is kind of a little bit of a one-off here. Over at cubiclebot.com, they're talking about yet another appliqué for the back of an Apple. Now, everybody's seen the glowing Apple that sits on the back of the Apple laptops. When you open up the screen, it's lovely branding. Everybody knows what you're using, and it goes with your eyes. So the funny thing about it is that people have started taking stickers and kind of changing the way it's represented. One of my favorites is actually Snow White holding the Apple itself, and it already has the bite out of it. So, I mean, it's just kind of taking that and turning it a little bit on its side. The cool thing about the stickers that they have over CubicleBot is that on the one hand, they just added mustaches to the Apple, which I think is kind of fun. But on the other hand, they actually added an entire facial hair and afros and all kinds of crazy designs to the Apple, so that it didn't just turn it from a plain blanked machine into something that incorporated the Apple. It actually turned the Apple into something completely different. So it turned the Apple into a face. It turned the Apple into something else. I mean, if I was going to get anything, it would probably be the Fu Manchu. I think that's actually pretty cool, or the handlebar one. But other than that, I don't think I actually would go for one of the just straight up mustache ones. I like the idea of just wrapping the whole thing in kind of a fake afro, just because I think that's pretty awesome. Oh my god, that's awesome. All right, Alan just came in and said the Flying Toasters Live wallpaper just came out recently for Android phones. If you are a fan of the After Dark screensavers from way back in the day, then you will know the Flying Toasters and the buttered bread walking or flying throughout the air. So thanks, Alan. I'm definitely going to have to find that and get it. All right, sticking with the Darth Vader stuff that we talked about in the past little bit, we actually have a kind of a fun little one-off from... over at 7gadgets.com. It's actually skull staplers. It's the ultimate all-in-one office accessory. It's a skull with bug eyes, a strange little designed head, and you can actually pull off the top, skull casing, and that's where all your paper clips or whatever you want to have in there. And the actual mouth is actually a stapler. So I thought it was awesome and wanted to share it with the group. And then that kind of ranks up again here with the Tetris earrings. There's a from over at SpriteStitch.com. They're on sale at Etsy for $15. They have the squiggle, they have the L piece, they have the line, and they have the T bar. They don't have both L pieces, which is kind of a little bit disappointing. But I got to tell you, the wife and I have been going nuts on the Wii Tetris. I mean, it has almost come to domestic dispute level at various times throughout the throughout the past couple weeks. But it is really fun. So I threatened that I was going to buy these. Okay, so we're moving right on into the food and caffeinated bits stuff, and we have a cool little mention just to remind you, the caffeination is part of the Summer of Podcasts contest. Now, if you've gotten this far and you weren't sure about what that is, a whole bunch of different podcasts have all gotten together, and over at podcastmadness.com, there's a whole bunch of different prizes that are going to be given out throughout the summer. So what you need to do is head on over to podcastmadness.com with any one of the code words that's actually given out on one of the participating shows. So the code word for this show is green, G-R-E-E-N. It's kind of a blanket code word, so a lot of the different podcasts have this one right now. It's the back end code word for the month of June. July, it's going to start the craziness. It's going to start the madness in its kind of entirety. We're going to be pushing out code words on specific shows to actually get out there and win. The cool thing is Jeffrey Powers, the originator of this contest, actually has a fun little bet he has going with everybody. If he gets 500,000 entries into the contest, then he's going to dye his goatee pink for Blog World Expo. So that's kind of cool. I actually won a pass to Blog World Expo. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to attend Blog World Expo. So I need to find a way to either give it away or do something else like that. So that might be coming a little bit down the pike. So you can stay tuned for the information on that. All right. Let's see what we got here. Food and caffeinated bits. The first thing we have up for you here is this. It's cold brewed coffee. Now, everybody talks about iced coffee a lot. And if you get it at certain restaurants, certain fine establishments, it comes loaded down with milk, sugar, syrup, whatever else you have. I have a problem with that. I drink my coffee black. Iced coffee is two ingredients. Both of them are in the name of the drink. It's ice and it's coffee. So there's many different ways to do it. You can have it with milk. You can have it with sugar, the same as any other thing. The problem is if you add sugar into iced coffee, it actually stays crystallized for a lot longer. You actually have to add syrup in. So, and syrup just shifts the flavor of the overall beverage for me. I'm not a real big deal on I'm not really big on the syrups of flavors or anything like that. Cold brewed coffee is something completely different. It's basically you take a large container, you put around a third of the container's volume in coffee grounds in there, then you fill it up with water, you shake it, and you store it. After a couple days, you're continually shaking it every once in a while, you actually drain it out, sift it, and the coffee will have infused without the presence of heat into the available liquid, and it actually creates a completely different way to enjoy coffee. The coffee ends up being less bitter, has a lot less acid in it, and at the same point in time, it retains a ton of the caffeine. Now, it might just be because you use a lot of caffeine in the actual, or the a lot of coffee in the actual thing. So, oh no, no syrup coffee for me at all. But it might just be that you actually retain so much of the caffeine because it's been brewed and in contact with the things for a lot longer, but it's so much stronger. So, for instance, if I'm going to make a cup of cold brewed coffee in the morning and I want to have ice in it or whatever, half the volume of the cup is the cold brewed concentrate. The other half is water and ice to bring it up to the top. After you have that, that's around as strong as a full cup of regular coffee. So, it's kind of interesting to see that all work out. So I have a fun little link up over at caffeination.com. I posted the story earlier today. It's a basic run-through without any extra added equipment or fun things on how to actually go about cold brewing yourself some coffee. I told you the basics. If you want a little bit more information, you can head on over there and check that out. Next little thing that we got up for you here is over at dailyshotofcoffee.com. This is a wonderful post. It says, "Beyond snobbery, be a coffee advocate." The long and the short of this post is that the person went into one of the establishments on the West Coast, and they found that somebody was actually turning their nose up at one of the drinks that was being served to them because it was being served in a paper cup. Most people will tell you things taste better out of a mug, or things taste better out of porcelain versus metal or something like that. And yes, a lot of them are true. Here's the thing. Whenever you're dealing with a consumer establishment, you really need to kind of work out what's more convenient for the people and what they're going to enjoy. So if you're serving good coffee, it's going to taste better in ceramic. It's going to taste better in porcelain. But it's not going to completely change your flavor or outlook. People aren't looking for that. They're looking for a quick coffee fix. So there's a way to go about doing the business of creating good coffee, and that is to actually slowly educate people. It's to give people a little bit of information. So it's things as simple as actually saying, hey, you know what? If you bought whole bean coffee and you actually ground it right before you used it, it tastes so much better. And that's something that's very easy for somebody, no matter what their palate is, no matter how sensitive they are to cream, sugar, whatever else it is. I drink my coffee black, no sugars, no nothing. It's just coffee in the cup. So when I'm telling people and they look at me and they look at what I usually drink and they're like, of course you'd say that. And it's like, no. Just trust me. Just try it. Try it once. And I've gotten more people to actually enjoy good coffee. And yes, they'll eventually add up cream and sugar after the fact. But people get so used to the routine that trying to change things a little bit along the way and actually being an advocate for better coffee as opposed to just turning your nose up at things that weren't done right. And I think this could kind of go a little bit further in the tech field as well. You see people actually kind of railing on everything that's wrong with any kind of system that comes out there without actually, and I myself am very guilty of it, but they never actually give any constructive criticism. They never say what is done well, and people spend so much time focusing on the negatives that they kind of forget to realize that your phone is talking to your phone could be talking to satellites to actually find out where you are, and how amazing that is when you consider that 20 years ago a cell phone was like this big, if you even had one. It was like you were carrying around a boombox. And I actually said the word boombox to one of my student workers the other week, and they had no idea what I was talking about. And I said, "What, you never saw like Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing, where the guy's walking around with the giant box on his arm?" And said, no, I never did that. It's like, okay, imagine an iPod that was the size of your torso. So they said, oh, well, I kind of get it. It's just, you need to kind of slowly realize that we have come a long way. It's just kind of fun to see when people tear it down a little bit. All right, next little thing that we got up for you here is a beautiful cake that was actually done. The only reason I'm putting this out there, it's a Twitter fail whale cake, completely done with fondant. But the best part about this is that Twitter has been breaking every time anything happens in the World Cup, and it's been kind of hilarious. So every time somebody scores like a big goal, depending on how many people are watching the map online or match online, which a lot of people are because of the time difference, I know a lot of people in the U.S. are actually being able to capture most of the games while they're in work. So then you have people doing dual screens and all other kinds of things. Mashable actually had an article out a little bit earlier today that said that today was one of the busiest days for web traffic in quite some time. So they said the previous records for web traffic were back during the 2008 presidential election. This World Cup has actually, almost doubled that peak of web traffic. And I only think things are going to go up from here. And if people should really kind of take their lead from how the World Cup is online and other sports, specifically a lot of the American sports like baseball and other things like that. Yes, I understand a paywall is incredibly good for you, but see how much the game is spreading through this very, very useful and very, very free medium that they have right now. Ads are fine, but people don't want to have to pay like $170 a year for NHL games online when they can't even watch their local ones. So that's kind of a little bit of a word to the wise. And that about wraps it up here today for the Caffeination podcast, the live version. I have to go back and check to see if all of our fun little commentary and everything actually got put into the recording. For some reason, something happened halfway through, and I think I lost about 10 minutes of talk. Oh, well, thank you very much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.